canceled due to COVID-19. Foundberg's message will be the seventh in the series. Sewell Marketing Director Andrew Marshall said Feinberg was a natural fit. Her message is titled Fight Back with Joy, as Sewell and Pink the Basin expect this to be a time for West Texas to spark joy, elevate faith, and encourage each other to love life. We thought that was fitting for Breast Cancer Awareness Month and also for our communities, Marshall said. With COVID and everything, we're trying to figure out how to take our challenges that we face every day and use it to find joy and fight back with positivity. That's how the Leader Live event came about. The live stream will be available on the Sewell Family of Companies Facebook page, on Twitter at Team Sewell, and at www.teamsewell.com/leadership. A Q&A will be available for those who tune in via Facebook Live. Dine and Donate Week will run from October 12th through 17th, breakfast, lunch, and early dinner. The Press Cafe is located inside the Sewell Ford dealership at Parks Legato Town Center. During this week, everything ordered will be completely paid for by Sewell Chevrolet, their sponsor. In exchange, diners will be asked to give a donation to Pink the Basin in the amount of what their meal would have cost or more. Press Cafe will take the donations in the same manner that anyone would typically pay for their meal at the register. This will be the first year for Dine and Donate Week. The event came about after Pink the Basin's annual fundraising luncheon was canceled. It's fitting because it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's an easy choice because all of those donations help the women of Texas, Press Cafe team lead Renee Alfred said. For us as a team at Sewell, we have many team members that have either themselves had breast cancer or have another member of the family or friend have it, so we've all been affected by it in some way. We found ways to make it creative. Lots of restaurants do creative things, and we were wanting to take it to the next level. It's a fun and convenient way for people to give back. Sewell Leadership Series, TINYUR.COM/Y3026V6X. Pink the Basin, pinkthebasin.com. Master Gardeners, Bulbs That Grow Well in West Texas Weather by Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. One of my favorite flowers is the tulip, but I have rarely had one grow well. Research shows that most parts of Texas don't have the chilling requirements necessary to grow them. Bulbs that grow well are irises, daylilies, amaryllis, daffodils, ranunculus, calla lilies, and gladiola. Cannas are one of my favorites and actually grow from an eye root. They do well in the West Texas heat and range in size from 2 feet to 6 feet, depending on which one you purchase. Be sure to read the package so that you get the height you need. Since irises and cannas grow so well in our climate, gardeners are always digging them up to thin them out and are usually quite happy to share. Simply break apart the bulbs and plant according to directions below. I made a recon run to one of the big box stores today to check on the availability of bulbs now. There were lots of daffodils available in a variety of colors, as well as crocus, leucoium, hyacinth, fritillaria, freesia, lilies in many colors. I purchased some that were so dark they are almost black, crocus, and amaryllis. I also bought several packages of a fragrant collection, which contains Hyacinth Pink Surprise, Hyacinth Delft Blue, and Muscari Arminiacum. Bulbs are planted in the fall, show themselves in the spring, and decline in the heat of summer. You will need an area that is full sun and that has plenty of room to multiply for many years. Loosen the soil to at least 6 inches. Add bulb fertilizer as recommended on the package to the bottom of the planting hole and cover with 2 inches of soil. Plant the bulb root side down with the pointed end up. Water well, then add an inch of mulch to conserve moisture. Heads up for the vegetable gardeners. Also available were potatoes, onions, and garlic. It is time to plant those as well. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Texas Master Gardeners. Managing Turfgrass Weeds by Jeanette Castagnon. Aggressive competitors for sunlight, moisture, and nutrients, and effective multipliers even under harsh conditions, weeds present a challenge for even the most experienced turf grass managers. The color, texture, and growth rate of weeds often contrast markedly to those of the turf grasses they may be associated with in a lawn or sports field. Consequently, weeds detract from the uniformity of a turf and add to its maintenance requirements. The aggressive nature of weeds and their prolific reproductive capacity enable them to invade thin, weak turf areas. Cultural practices should always be viewed as the first step to effective weed control. Always determine why weeds established a foothold and correct those deficiencies. If the basic problem is not corrected, weeds will continue to occur. An effective weed control program also requires identification of the undesirable species as to its classification as a grassy weed, a broadleaf weed, an annual, or a perennial. Most turf weeds belong to two principal categories, grasses and broadleaf plants. Chemical controls for these two categories of plants frequently differ. Perennial weeds live more than 1 year and recover or regrow from dormant stolons, rhizomes, or tubers, as well as from seed. Control of perennial weeds requires a post-emergent herbicide during its season of active growth. Effective chemical weed control requires identification of the weeds as to their classification, grass, broadleaf, sedge, etc., lifespan, annual or perennial, and season of active growth, cool season or warm season. Effective chemical control also requires accurate timing of applications, proper rate of application, and uniformity of application. Always follow label directions for a product and observe all warnings and precautions relative to safety of the application. Herbicide labels should be carefully reviewed for additional details on specific uses of each product, soil, and sunny locations. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland. Email Jeanette.Castagnon at ag.tamu.edu or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Jeanette Castagnon. Castagnon is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at Jeanette, JEANETTE dot Castagnon, CASTANON, at ag.tamu.edu. Pets of the week. Tango, a 2-year-old male cat, needs to be adopted into a good home. Tango is gray with a white nose and mouth and white feet. He's got his ears folded back. Bruno, a 2-year-old male bloodhound mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. Bruno looks to be dark brown or black with some white on his throat. To adopt Tango or Bruno or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane. Call 381-5503. Visit www.odessahumanesociety.org or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50.
Hello, this is Michael reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Saturday, October 10th. Home Gardeners Can Raise Monarch Butterflies by Jeanette Kasten, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. A lot of people do not realize that Texas has a state insect, the monarch butterfly. A resolution was passed by the Texas legislature in 1995, making the monarch butterfly the state insect. You may be spotting monarchs around town as they travel through and swarm on trees and gardens to refuel and rest on their long journey to Mexico. Most home gardeners can easily raise monarch butterflies in their backyard. Butterflies taste with their feet, so when the adult butterfly lands on a plant, it can determine if the plant is appropriate for its larva. Once the butterfly determines the host plant, which is milkweed, they lay their eggs. The eggs will hatch in 3 to 5 days, and the caterpillar will begin its feast. The larva of the monarch butterfly is a distinctly marked black and yellow banded caterpillar. You need to observe them daily, for they grow quickly. During this stage, the caterpillar will shed its skin several times. The caterpillar will grow to about 2 inches in length. The next stage, pupa, is a beautiful thing to observe. Look around your yard and you will see the monarch butterfly's chrysalis. You will recognize the monarch's chrysalis by its bright, shiny green color and gold speckles. The adult monarch will emerge in 10 to 12 days as a breathtaking black and orange butterfly. The male may be easily distinguished from the female by noting the 2 highly visible black spots on the insect's hind wings and the thinner black webbing within the wings. The female's webbing is thicker, and she doesn't have the identifying wing spot as the male does. Adult butterflies feed on nectar, and the monarch butterfly will return to the same butterfly weed to feed on its flower. Jeanette Kastanen is a county extension agent for horticulture, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service.
Flores is Maintenance Employee of the Year by Ruth Campbell. When it's warm outside, Ector County ISD HVAC technician David Flores gets even busier. Flores has been in maintenance for ECISD since 2012. He started off in food service in 2008. His father helped him pay for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning training at Midland College, and Flores took to the trade. Recently, he received the Maintenance Employee of the Year Award from ECISD. Flores said it was a shock because I could think of a handful of people who deserve it more than I do. He said there are people who work behind the scenes that he thinks deserve the honor more than he does. It's nice how your actions speak louder than your words, Flores said. He likes to be pointed in the direction of something that needs fixing. Flores said he's not in it for the accolades. He and his wife, Nicole Jordan, have 4 children together, ranging in age from 12 to 19. What's kept him with ECISD is having time off to spend with them. It's a really great place. Very easygoing with my supervisors and foreman. That's probably why, Flores said, acknowledging that he could make more money in the private sector. Air conditioners tend to be the priority. If there is an air conditioner that breaks, the teacher will tell the campus secretary, and the secretary sends an email through the district's system or to warehouse supervisor Kent Clark or director of district operations Gary Weatherford. They approve it, and it gets printed out. From there, they distribute it to whoever it needs to go to, Flores said. Priority is given to, for example, air conditioners in a pre-kindergarten classroom. There's 42 campuses, he said. There's lots of stuff that goes down on a daily basis. Because of COVID, Flores wears a face mask and checks in with the secretary to make sure she knows he's going to be working on that campus. He also just tries to stay clean, which is easier said than done. Flores said he disinfects when he gets home and carries hand sanitizer. He sprays down his tools at least every once in a while. He said his job is labor intensive, but it's worth it because you do get those people who are grateful for what you do. Flores said what he likes about his job is that he's not stuck in one place. You get to see a lot of the different remodels going on. You get to see some of the new units that are coming out, the way they work. You get to learn. There's a big variety of air conditioners and heaters and special tools, which is really nice. You're always learning something. I'm always learning something within this field. Flores added that he is thankful and blessed to have a job. But I think it's a team effort, too, having a good warehouse and trying to keep as many parts in stock as necessary, Flores said. Weatherford said Flores was a good choice for Maintenance Employee of the Year. I was part of the team who nominated and picked him for that. He is one of my go-to people. If I have a problem with air conditioning, I can always call David up and count on him to go take care of it. He's dependable. He comes to work every day, does what he's asked, doesn't complain or balk. He just takes care of business, Weatherford said. He added that Flores is very humble. I think he was kind of surprised that he was nominated and selected. He's just one of those guys who does whatever you ask, never complains. He's one of my top hands, Weatherford said. Most of these guys, we work behind the scenes. Nobody even knows we're here until something breaks. And of course, then we get called on, he added. Weatherford said he's budgeted for about 95 people and has 74 or 75. It's gotten a little better since the oil field has slowed down. I've managed to hire a few people, but it's always a struggle keeping him out here when the oil field is blowing and going. Of course, they can make more money than what they can make here, so when the oil field slows down, we get help, and then they all go back to the oil field. It's just back and forth. It's been that way for as long as I've been here.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 12th. Furthering education. Former teacher turned her talent to Basin PBS. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. An award-winning teacher in a previous job, Danielle Castle has taken her talents to Basin PBS to become its education director. This is a new position for the public television station, Castle said. The position was funded through a grant given to Basin PBS to further its education efforts in West Texas, Laura Wolf, general manager and CEO of Basin PBS, said. Quote, overall, I look for where we can form partnerships to provide resources to the community with any of our educational resources, with the main emphasis on early childhood education, Castle said. Children are starting out so far behind that they are getting behind in later grades. Council said they tried to use PBS's resources to connect at all different points in the community, whether it's daycares, child care centers, after-school programs, or schools themselves. Castle taught for 5 years in Arizona and 3 years at Lee High School in Midland. She taught environmental systems and forensic science and was Region 18 Education Service Center Teacher of the Year in 2019. Castle decided to take the PBS job for a couple of different reasons. Quote, PBS just has so many different resources, and being able to use those resources and leverage them for the community and to serve people, I think that's a big one. I also just had a baby, so having more stable work environment was also a big appeal for me, Castle said. She added that PBS is a large untapped market with many resources. Quote, I don't think people are aware. They just think they put on kids' TV. But it's much more than that. Everything we put on is going to be educational, and for the most part, most of our resources are free, Castle said. There are games and apps and streaming shows that cost money. Quote, but for the most part, all our shows have some kind of underlying educational purpose. It's not that we're entertaining you only, it's that we're entertaining you and educating you. I think that's kind of an exciting thing that people just thought TV can't be educational. It's just there to entertain. And then we finally kind of got a voice that said, yes, it's able to do both. End quote. Teachers, she said, are in a position where they wear a lot of different hats. Quote, what I liked about teaching is I feel like I have a lot of interest, and so it's a job where I get to use a lot of the different talents and interests and get to pursue them. That's the way I felt when I was in the classroom. And now, coming to work at Basin PBS, I feel like it's very similar. I'm still using a lot of the same things you're presenting to people. You're working with people. You're assessing people's needs. I used to assess educational needs, but now I assess larger scale needs, Castle said. PBS programming for children stresses the ages from 3 years old to second grade. Quote, that's where a lot of our content is. It's kind of our wheelhouse. We do have resources for older kids, the junior high, the high school level, but I would say our strength is probably prep to second, end quote. Castle attended the University of Arizona and received her bachelor's degree in philosophy and a master's in education from Arizona State University. Castle's mother was a teacher, so growing up, Castle always vowed she would never go into the profession because teachers aren't respected and they work so hard. Quote, I was actually a Teach for America teacher, and so my last year of college I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, Castle said. She wanted to do something that served and helped people, but she wasn't sure what form that would take. Quote, I applied for the Teach for America program. I got accepted, which at the time I didn't expect to be. I was very flattered. Originally, it was only supposed to be 2 years, and I loved it, and so I just kept teaching. They're a pretty difficult program to get into, so my mother was very excited for me, end quote. Just a few weeks in, Castle said she has found people at Basin PBS to be dedicated, helpful, and have wide-ranging knowledge, just like teachers. Quote, everyone is very willing to help. It's a team effort, Castle said. Whether they are in education, engineering, or the creative director, she said everyone is willing to overlap and help. Quote, so I appreciate that. Just being new to TV, I feel like I ask a lot of questions, not being laughed at when I'm asking, like, how many promotional spots do we normally air? It's been a learning curve for me. Everyone has been really great and very helpful people, Castle said. Wolf said Basin PBS is thrilled beyond belief to have Castle on board. Quote, early learning and education are in Basin PBS's wheelhouse, and we excel with educational resources for the pre-K and K through third grade age group. In March of 2020, when the COVID pandemic hit, we pivoted our daytime programming to provide educational programming from the hours of 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., broken out in age groups 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. pre-K through 3rd, 8 to 1 p.m. middle school, and 1 to 6 p.m. junior high, high school. In our partnership with ECISD, we continued this programming, providing resources for teachers and parents through the end of the school year, Wolf said. For a staff of 6, she added, it was a monumental task to pivot to at-home learning. Quote, it was critical that we have a person on staff that would dedicate their entire position to be a liaison to the West Texas community in educating and informing, especially the underserved, about the resources available to them through Basin PBS on air and online. Danielle was the perfect fit for this newly created role with her vast experience in teaching. Castle and her husband Zachary have a daughter, Cameron. Zachary is a family care physician.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8. Recording Library of West Texas Radio is bringing you the League of Women Voters of Texas Nonpartisan Voters Guide for 2020. This 2.5-hour program can be heard Saturday at 1 p.m., Sunday at 9 a.m., Monday at 6 a.m., Tuesday at 6 p.m., and Wednesday at 3 a.m. The Voters Guide is funded and published by the League of Women Voters of Texas. The League never supports or opposes political candidates or political parties.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 50 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-50s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the Big Bend Sentinel on Thursday, October 15th, 2020. Polls open for the 2020 general election and turnout is already high. By Abby Perot. As early voting for the 2020 election opened on Tuesday, first day turnout records across Texas were smashed. Locally, a modest line formed outside the USO building in Marfa ahead of the 8 a.m. poll opening. And by the end of the day, 222 Presidio County residents had voted in person, more than deputy clerk and former elections clerk Florcita Zubia had ever seen on a single day. Of those 222, 79 voted in Marfa, and 143 cast their ballot in Presidio at the Annex Building C. Presidio County Tax Assessor-Collector Natalia Williams, the county's voter registration official, said 4,793 voters are registered for the 2020 election, slightly lower than 2016.